Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Good morning, sunshine. Although in a lot of places there isn't any sunshine, so that actually would be considered a tease. I can't help you there. This Monday in many parts of the country is going to be full of cold and rain, and let's hope no more severe weather. But that's been the story over the last several days. And this morning, I'm thinking of Patriots Day in Massachusetts, parts of New England, but also the fact that the Boston Marathon is being run, even though the Red Sox game was canceled. So the Boston Red Sox canceled their game, which typically starts at 11 o'clock Eastern time. So it's a morning start in honor of Patriots Day. And if you don't know, Fenway is along the Boston Marathon route. So it's not that far from the finish. And the runners will go by Fenway Park. And so fans will empty out of Fenway Park after an 11 a.m. start. So, you know, early afternoon. And a lot of them will then line the marathon route. And it's kind of cool. I've done it myself before. You have an opportunity to come out of Fenway and stand there and cheer all the runners. But the fact that the Red Sox canceled their game should tell you something about how bad the weather is going to be today. So I've heard from a bunch of people who are already up, who are already headed toward the start line, or who will be along the marathon route. And the temperatures are supposed to be in the 40s in a soaking cold rain.
I feel like everyone in New England is probably having a crappy day today.
Well, I mean, I'm just in awe of you. If you actually start and run, and this is a dream come true for a lot of people. It's not an every year occurrence. It's actually pretty difficult to get into the Boston Marathon. You either have to qualify or to be part of a charitable group. And so for some people, this is a culmination of years and years of planning and training. And certainly a lot of money will be raised today. And so as I think about a half marathon that I'm running in 2 weeks, I don't know that I would do it if the conditions were 40s and raining. Honestly, I'd probably bag it. And so you guys are an inspiration to me. And in addition to that, the 2018 Boston Marathon comes one day after the 5-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. And so it's no longer just marathon. It's no longer just Patriots Day. They now run to remember. And so I've seen the hashtag Boston Strong already, and you will too if you're on Twitter at all today. So thinking of those runners, and as well as the media and the fans who will be out there, just please be safe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, asking you, who are your hashtag MCM candidates? We can't possibly do a poll on Twitter because it limits your options to 4. And there was no way after a nutty, crazy playoff weekend in which there were 8,792 storylines that I was going to be able to narrow it down to just 4 Man Crush Monday options.
Man Crush Monday.
I couldn't do it, voice God. And so instead, we're just opening it up. And so we've given you a spot on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And also some of you have called and you've sent me your tweets as well. Just use the hashtag MCM. I've actually tweeted my 2 Man Crush Mondays, 1 from hoops and 1 from hockey. And so you can agree, disagree, that's totally fine. And we'll get to some of those coming up. But I kind of feel like after I just completely ruined whatever euphoric mood there was around the Boston Marathon with talk of how bad the weather's going to be, maybe we could talk about a playoff win for the Boston Celtics on Sunday. This was the first game of the day. And in fact, it was a national window in which there were no other playoff games, not in hoops and not in hockey. It was the first one to tip off on Sunday, and obviously the series opener between the 2-seed Celtics and the 7-seed Milwaukee Bucks, and it was a wild roller coaster ride. So the Celtics trailed by double figures, but also led by double figures in the first half, just all in the first half. It was really a tale of two quarters, actually, where the Bucks got out to a hot start. No, Celtics got out to the early lead, and then the Bucks were able to rally, and there were lots of, we'll call them lowlights, that you could point to where the offense was kind of gross. For a while, neither team was shooting really well outside of maybe a couple players. Jason Tatum had a hot start to the game. Giannis had 35 points. Al Horford, he was solid all the way through, a lot of it being about his defense. But then toward the end of the game, it was like, flip a switch, let it rip. Pretty amazing to watch. Even the final 15 seconds, even if you saw nothing else, final 15 seconds, plus there was a Giannis dunk in there too. But Malcolm Brogdon nails a triple with 15 seconds left in regulation. And that tied the Celtics and the Bucks. And so here's the reigning rookie of the year. No conversation about whether or not he's actually a rookie or shouldn't be a rookie. Yeah, he was the rookie of the year. And he nails this triple, and they're all tied up. And that was with just inside of 15 seconds to go. And that was when it really got good. You would have thought, what? That was a big moment, right? That was it? No, there was so much more to come for both the Celtics and the Bucks.
9 seconds to go in game one. Rozier out of the right side. Now the motion starts away from the ball. Rozier switches to the right hand. Steps back. Good look at the three.
No!
Got it! Terry Rozier giveth. And then Terry Rozier, the just have taken game one away from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Now you're down three as Giannis will inbound. Celtics are just trying to wall off the three-point line. Giannis looking to get it in. Here's Middleton. He takes it. It's up. It is.
Oh!
Did it count? Did it count? He hit that from about 40 feet.
Oh, my gosh. It did count. Actually, it was 35 feet. But don't you love what's happening in the background? Can you hear it? They're playing Eye of the Tiger, and they're all excited because there's only a half a second left on the clock there inside the Garden in Boston. And then Chris Middleton completely ruins their flow, and he hit some crazy shots over the course of this game. So, yeah, in the final second alone, my apologies to Malcolm Brogdon, we got two more threes. Terry Rozier with just it was an incredible. Was it Bledsoe who was guarding him? I think it was Bledsoe who was guarding him. And he does this crossover move and then steps back. And Bledsoe is so crossed up himself that he can't even recover. He gets completely flummoxed by the crossover. And then the step back, kind of wrong-footed Bledsoe. And so he was stuck. He was about 6 feet away from Terry when he hit that triple. It was amazing. And then, of course, Chris Middleton, who has this miracle at the buzzer. And yes, it does count. And that sends the two teams into overtime. And a couple of things that stood out about the OT, the Celtics had way more second chance points than the Bucks did. But in the OT, a couple of big offensive rebounds that led to second chance points, and they also made their free throws, and Al Horford a big part of that. He was 13 of 14 from the charity stripe. This was the table setter for Sunday. And if you consider how many players are missing from the Celtics, but also how little playoff experience the bulk of the starting lineup has. Now, I know Horford has a ton of playoff games under his belt, but the rest of that starting lineup does not. In fact, it was Terry Rozier's first playoff start, and of course, Jason Tatum's as well as a rookie. So, yeah, it's a good mix, and this team, they kind of continue to defy the odds. The fact that they roll with the punches, and the tougher it gets, Coach Brad Stevens thinks these guys are actually better in those moments.
I think you can tell a lot from the fight on the tip. And, you know, we got the tip after two tips and running through the ball to get a loose ball. And that's when I knew we were reset. So, you know, you just get back out and play. You're ready to play. And, you know, I thought our guys, you know, I knew they wouldn't hang their head about it. They're sometimes I think they're at their best when those things happen. You know, I think that's just a really resilient group of kids.
And so the Celtics are able to survive in OT and take that opener against the Milwaukee Bucks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hearing from some Cavs fans and people who watched the Cavaliers play against the Pacers on Sunday. And this game actually started before the Celtics finished. So two channels, there were two different channels they were airing on. And I'm not sure a lot of people even knew that the Pacers and Cavaliers was underway because the national game had started and gone into overtime, that first one. And so for the Cavaliers, they were down 33-14 at the end of the first quarter. I mean, literally down 19 points on their own court after one quarter, and Indiana was still up 17 at the half. What impressed me about the Pacers is how aggressive they were at the start, how unintimidated they were. And remember, this roster has turned over nearly as much as the Cavaliers has, not at the trade deadline, not in the middle of the season. But this is not Larry Bird's Pacers. This is almost an entirely different roster. What was the expectation when Paul George got traded to Oklahoma City? Oh, and we'll get to you, Playoff P. What was the expectation? It was that this team would maybe not tank. I hate that idea. But that they'd be competing for a lottery pick, not making the playoffs. Playoffs? Ooh, that was a good one. Anyway, so for the Pacers, Victor Oladipo has had a career year. And that continued in their opener at Cleveland. But honestly, this was as much about the Cavaliers as it was about the Pacers. All right, so Indiana responded to every challenge that Cleveland mounted. Early fourth quarter, so started late third quarter, early fourth quarter, they got down inside single digits, and they had nearly chopped that lead completely away. And yet, Indiana responds by limiting the Cavs to just 15 points in the fourth quarter. LeBron James had another playoff triple-double, the 20th for him over the course of his career. But there was almost no help from anywhere else. The three-point shooting was not great, and that's putting it nicely. Meanwhile, Victor Oladipo, he was automatic. 6 of 9 from downtown, 32 points for him. Yes, it's just one game, but you got to give the Pacers credit for going in there and stealing away the home court advantage. So those were two games in the East that took place on Sunday. You also had MVP skills on display from the guy who could end up being the MVP this season. And Playoff P, I'll have to explain coming up. Plus, we'll get back to your thoughts about Dez Bryant. Do you want him on your team? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our number is 855-212-4227. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's a manic Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There are so many MCM candidates on this Monday morning. And there are some teams that are nervous as well. Maybe not teams, but fan bases for sure. In some of the hockey series, we are three deep now. The NBA is just one game in each of its series, but we've already had some incredible individual performances that have led to fantastic wins. So find me on Twitter, use the hashtag MCM, and while you're there, take our Dez Bryant poll at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I was just telling the guys that I need to add this song to my half marathon running rotation because it's a good one. It's a throwback. It'll make me happy just listening to this. And if it does happen to be 40 degrees and rainy, I can imagine a day in which beach volleyball can take place. I was canoeing in shorts and a tank top on Saturday. And then Old Man Winter got jealous again, and that was the end of that. But I know our cold and rain is not anything compared to the parts of the upper Midwest that got bombarded with snow, like Wisconsin, Minnesota, some lake effect snow as well. Just, I do not get it. What happened to global warming? I mean, I was tending to believe that it was a real thing until this these last couple months. Oh my gosh, don't at me. I don't want to hear it. 855-212-4227. That was a statement about old man winter, not political. 855-212-4227. And then I mentioned our social media. So here are a couple of candidates for Man Crush Monday from the weekend. How about James Harden? Hello, late 9-0 run by the Rockets against the Timberwolves, of which he had 7 points. 44 total for him, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. And even though the rest of his crew wasn't really able to hit from downtown, he was 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. So that's a big one. How about Serge Ibaka from the other top seed in the East? 23 points, 12 rebounds. That was an impressive first game. Impressive game one victory, finally, for the Toronto Raptors, who were 0-10 before that. Certainly can mix in Victor Oladipo, or how about J.J. Redick, who spearheaded the charge for the Sixers as they took out Miami in their opener. Or on the ice, Zach Parise, has had 3 goals now in 3 games for the Wild, but the big thing was they were able to come back against Winnipeg and win on Sunday. Sidney Crosby had another goal and 3 assists in game 3 for the Penguins, so he now has 4 goals and a bunch of assists. Marc-Andre Fleury has been great for the Vegas Golden Knights against the Kings. They managed a couple of goals on Sunday, but only after they'd given up 3 in the third period to Vegas. Incredible the way that the playoff experience has come back to help this Golden Knights team so far as they take a 3-0 lead. For me in hockey, my Man Crush Monday, it's got to be Sergei Bobrovsky. Bob, 54 saves for the Blue Jackets goalie. This is the second game in which Columbus has rallied from a 2-goal deficit. And I mean, it's got to be like deja vu for the Capitals. This time they waste a pair of power play goals from Alex Ovechkin. They go into overtime again, and again, the Capitals lose. It's only happened 6 times now in NHL history that a team has dropped both games 1 and 2 in overtime at home. And maybe this won't come as a surprise to hockey fans or Capitals fans, but the 5 previous teams to do it have all lost the series. So, ouch. But congratulations to Bobrovsky, who did give up a couple of goals early and then came back with 54 saves. Man, the guy deserves a nap or 2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, you can find us on social media. Use the hashtag MCM. From the basketball court, my MCM has to go to a guy who has given himself a new nickname. He already has a nickname. He's decided he needs a different nickname now that we're in the second season.
George is going to go to work on Royce O'Neal. Puts on the curling and the dribbling exhibition. And splashes another 3. 7-7, a new Thunder. Playoff record for PG-13, who has 29. And OKC's up 13. George with 2 seconds. Over O'Neal at the buzzer. Cha-ching! A Thunder! Money ball, oh baby! Paul George has done it in game one with 32 points. 8 of 11 3-point stroking. A cotton candy sweet stroke. Giving me cavities right now. Thunder will take a 10-point lead to the fourth. George back of a Grant pick. On the fade. Rips the courts again.
He's just unguardable right now. He's showing you everything, folks. Everything but the kitchen sink.
George, 3. That's 3! Making 8 trays tonight. A Thunder all-time single-game record. 36 have been splashed by the 5-time All-Star. Oklahoma City up 11.
Man Crush Monday.
Oh, yeah. His new nickname is Playoff P. Paul George, who is already known by PG-13, said he wanted to be called Playoff P from now on. And I guess if you go out there and you set a new franchise record for 8 triples, 8 of them, and you score 36 points, top scorer in the game, you can name yourself whatever you want. Russell Westbrook, that is, ended up with 29 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. But it was Paul George who was the star of the show and my MCM.
I just took what they gave me. Kind of what I talked about coming into this is not being indecisive. You know, if they're going to give me, you know, perimeter shots or they're going to give me mid-range shots, just take them. And, you know, just be decisive on setting it up and looking for those opportunities.
The Thunder were actually down 12 points in the first quarter, like blink, out of the locker room. And hello, Utah. but they were able to rally and kind of control things. They were up a handful at the half, and after that, even though Utah would get close here and there, the Thunder have other options now. It's not just Russell Westbrook. It's not just Paul George. Carmelo Anthony didn't shoot particularly well, but he's certainly capable of putting up double-figure points. Steven Adams is a brute in the middle, and they can go to him. He's reluctant at times to want to post up. However, he can certainly muscle his way in for a couple of buckets. And Corey Brewer was able to contribute. Now, I know they're missing some defense without Andre Roberson, and so that's going to be maybe a question mark for them, but it certainly is nice that they have other options now outside of Russ, excuse me. Though I will say I enjoy the playoff Russ, maybe not playoff P, but the playoff elbows that Russell Westbrook throws. Man, beware of those things, bony little things. Ah! And of course there were going to be home-friendly calls made, but there were a few times in this game when I thought, come on, how is that not being reviewed for a flagrant foul when an elbow connects with the side of somebody's head? But that's Russ. He is fierce, and the playoff version is good.
You're the real MVP.
Thank you. Oh, wait, that's not me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Facebook, some of you weighing in, which are the teams that need to be nervous? Joe says the Kings, for sure. The Capitals, they're now running on borrowed time. And also on our Twitter, A-Law Radio, we do have an early results from the Dez Bryant poll. And this is really early. We just put it up. But 42% of you are saying you take Dez Bryant on your team as a starter. So we'll get to your calls coming up about this. To me, it was a surprise announcement. Not that I didn't think this was a possibility, but I figured the time window had passed for Dez to get released by the Cowboys. But he's talking about it, and he's even pointing fingers. And he swears it wasn't Jerry Jones. So he's not holding a grudge against Jerry, just against the Cowboys. It's now personal for him.
I know.
No, I know.
Little do they know is.
I know that you know.
They know who they run and they talk to. They know who they communicate with. Everybody know.
I know that you know that they know that we all know.
So I know.
So take that poll on our Twitter, A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. And again, we'll get to your tweets, your responses coming up. But Andrew Bogish, this is like easy, so easy. Easiest question I've ever asked you other than, hey, what's your name? No, I would never. I'd know what your name is. Would you take him on your team?
Dez, I don't think so.
It was really a yes or no question.
I'll pass.
You'll pass?
I'll pass.
You're pleading the fifth?
No, I'll pass on Dez. So no, he's not on my team. I'll pass on Dez.
I was like, it's incriminating?
Yeah.
How come?
First of all, the numbers I think don't lie. I mean, he's not the elite receiver that he thinks he is. And I'm a little put off by him throwing elbows on his way out. I know it sucks and the timing is a little bit weird. But still, I think you need to go out with a little bit more professionalism and keep your next job in mind. And I think teams hear what he's saying, go, I don't need him coming in here. And if things don't work out, then running his mouth on the way out of my door as well. So
yeah. I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like the fact that he's taking this so personally means the next team he goes to is going to get the best version of Dez. And I mean the best version of himself he wants in the NFC East. We shall see. All right, we'll come up. We'll take come back. We'll take some of your reaction there, but you can take the poll. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Swing and a ball hit into center field on the move is Tochi. He's there. He's got it. Bartolo Colon is perfect through seven innings. We go to the eighth from Houston. Rangers 1, Astros nothing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Eric Nadel on the Texas Rangers Radio Network, because now Bartolo Colon is a Ranger. 20 years in the big leagues. 44 years old, and I know in the past he's had to serve a suspension for using banned substances, but it's not like the guy's on TB12 here. He's not a physical specimen. He just continues to be steady and earn the nickname Big Sexy. 44 years old, the man's killing it. He needs a little more attention, I think. Finishes seven perfect innings on Sunday and then finally gives up a hit to Josh Reddick and actually allowed just one run in his 7 2/3 innings. So right now his ERA is 1.45.
It's called Sex Panther.
It's a good thing he doesn't go by that because I would never use it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's
he
quite pungent.
Is your choice for Man Crush Monday in many cases. I feel like he's getting the majority of the votes, and then there are a lot of votes being cast in a variety of directions, like Susan, who says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, can the entire Golden Knights team be nominated for Man Crush Monday? Absolutely. What they've done, adding now another chapter to their historic, unprecedented season, inaugural season, I mean, it's incredible. They're the only team to ever jump out to a 3-0 series lead in a playoffs in their first year, obviously. I mean, they're just in uncharted territory. So you can definitely nominate them. Don says on Twitter, Matt Murray of the Penguins. And then a bunch of you weighing in on Facebook as well, so check it out. The NFL draft is almost here, and nobody covers it better than NFL Network. Go behind the scenes into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts April 26th. It's coming up inside of 2 weeks now on both the NFL Network and Fox. So it's moving around, but it's always on the NFL Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Would you take Dez Bryant on your team? I kind of think this will be the most motivated he's ever been. He definitely has already announced to the world that he's got something to prove, that this is personal for him, and even mentioned he would see the Cowboys twice a year coming up, which would indicate he'd be in an NFC East locker room, or just by luck of the draw, he would face the Cowboys in the regular season and end up playing them again in the postseason. Robbie is listening in Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Miss Amy, hope all is well.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, so I just had a quick thought, give or take. I have a team in mind that I think that he would go to, and I'm thinking Carolina Panthers.
Ah, with Cam Newton?
Absolutely.
A couple of strong personalities there. Not that they'd be bad. They're both
Devin punches in the bunch.
Yeah, they're both.
I think it'd be a good thing.
Really, they're both really fiery. Would definitely bring a lot of passion there. The problem is what happens if they clash? Somebody could get knocked out. And I feel like it would be Dez.
Like any like superstars like that. But, you know, I just really see like maybe something like that coming up. Worley, you know, they're the ex cornerback that they just got rid of.
Daryl Worley, the Eagles?
Yeah, he's gone. Mm-hmm. He's all in like kind of like predicament and like this and that. And then I just really think he's going to end up in Carolina.
Are we talking about Worley or Dez now?
Dez.
Oh, okay. Got it. I guess I didn't understand why you brought up the Eagles situation. But yeah, I mean, I think that there will be some teams that are interested in bringing him on board. The only issue is that a lot of teams have spent their allotment of money under the salary cap, and they filled a lot of their positions already. And so the Cowboys did not do Dez Bryant any favors because of the way that they waited until now and then didn't even offer him a pay cut, according to Dez. So the timing, I think, is the part that surprises me the most.
Sure that. What team do you think he might end up at?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I mean, I'd have to look at salary caps and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like no matter what team it is, there are very few teams out there that wouldn't be looking at an upgrade by adding a receiver of Dez Bryant's caliber, even if he's not your number one anymore. So you mentioned the Panthers. Yeah, they have Devin Funchess, but who's on the other side?
Yeah.
Russell Shepard. I mean, there are a lot of teams that could upgrade by adding a Dez. It's just a matter of do they have the salary cap space and how much of a pay cut will he agree to take? Because he's going to have to take one, more than likely.
It would be kind of a fun situation, something like that. I could see Carolina. It would be like trying to pull that off.
It would be must-see TV for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, Robbie.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. I appreciate you listening in Tucson. Scottsdale, sorry. I don't know. Tucson's where my aunt lives. Yeah, so how do you feel about Dez Bryant landing on your team? The margin is shrinking now in our poll. So 40% of you are saying, yes, please, I'll take Dez as my new starter. And I don't mean fantasy. I mean like actual football. And 32% of you are saying only at a major bargain. But the third option is no way, and that's not even 30% of you. So check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And also, you can give us a call. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. With some good news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Daniel says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Dez would be a great replacement for Brandon Cooks in New England. Cheap money, rehab his image, get a ring. I mean, if you want to get back at your team, winning a ring is probably the best way to do it. That's interesting to me because, yes, Bill Belichick has brought characters in before, Randy Moss being the most notable. We're talking about diva wide receivers of that same position, a guy who had kind of worn out his welcome with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, if there's any team that can get him to walk the line, it would be the Pats. And the lure of winning is huge, but I'm not even sure it's going to be that difficult of a hurdle because he's already indicated it's personal. In my opinion, this would be the year to get Dez Bryant because this will be the year that he, yes, is willing to take a pay cut because he wants so desperately to find a new home. He wants to get started with a new QB. He wants to, maybe he's going to miss these offseason workouts, but not the next round. And he wants to prove it, that the 2014 numbers are not a thing of the past, something he can't possibly achieve or attain. I kind of feel like you're going to get a Dez Bryant on his best behavior, even if it doesn't last that long. But also, the guy's matured. I mean, he's extremely passionate. We get that. But pre-Dak Prescott, when he had his best numbers, it was with Tony Romo, and Romo never had an issue with them. They were two completely opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of personality. But Romo was always publicly supporting him, even if, of course, there would be times when the outburst and the explosiveness and the abrasiveness would rub you the wrong way. Obviously, but that's any team, just like it's any family. Nobody gets along 100% of the time. If they tell you they do, they're flat out lying.
What are you talking about?
Nobody gets along with you 100% of the time, speaking of abrasive.
There's a lot of pronouns, Eric. I don't even know who's talking about what.
No days off. Dez sat down and did a full interview with Jane Slater of NFL Network. It aired on Friday, just hours after the decision was made by the Cowboys, and he kind of broke the news on Twitter. And in my opinion, the biggest thing is the timing is strange because the free agent market is already really settled down.
I'm not trying to call anybody out, but at the same time, you know, this situation was very unfair to me. And I'll put it that way. It was an unfair situation, you know, because you know, if they did want to, you know, get rid of me, they could have told me that. You know, they could have told me that. And I would have respected that, just like I told Jerry in the meeting. You know, I respect his decision. And to be surprised, you know, I told him that I was surprised that I'm very unbothered. Like, you know, the way that I feel about the decision, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. It is. It's a new chapter for me.
See what I mean? The man's going to be highly motivated. 855-212-4227. Mark is in Green Bay. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, I was just calling to say, you know, I didn't know about him coming to Green Bay, but you were saying before, like, we don't really have another opposite. We got Jordy, and just thought I think it'd be interesting to have him here. It's a big target. I think that if he was with Rodgers and the rest of the locker room, I think he'd be fine. So I'm driving. I don't want to get an accident. I want to have 18 inches of snow.
Ah!
So. I'll let you go.
Okay, yes, be careful, Mark. Thank you so much for that in Green Bay. The man just braved the snow to talk about the Packers. I mean, yeah, you could go through every single team in the NFL, and there may be a handful that are already going to have two starting wide receivers that they wouldn't feel like it's an upgrade to have Dez Bryant, or that maybe they feel like it's not worth whatever trouble there might be. But in the case of the Green Bay Packers, they've got Davante Adams. We know they parted ways with Jordy Nelson. And actually, that one probably hurt as much and cut as much like that same knife that just cut Dez Bryant. mean, this is a team that has got a quarterback who can throw the ball and deliver the ball for sure. I think that's critical too. And I'm not saying Dak couldn't do that, but the offense changed when Dak and Ezekiel Elliott became the focal point of it. Also, I just saw this as I pulled up the Green Bay Clubhouse page. Packers have postponed media availability for the start of their offseason program until tomorrow because of the blizzard. No, it's April 16th. We should not be talking about blizzards. Now more of the country is stuck in the movie Frozen. It's gross. Junior is in Phoenix. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. You got about 60 seconds. Go.
Hey, Amy. Thanks. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say with Dez, I'm a huge Dez Bryant fan. I love him, and I wanted him to stay. But for the past 3 years, I want him to do better, and he just kept not showing it. And last year was horrible. Everybody wants him, but he dropped so many passes. And I wanted him to do better because I don't care about his passion. I love his passion. He reminded me so much of Michael Irvin. He was great. I love him. And I hope he does well and starts catching passes again. But I think it was time for us to move on. He couldn't catch passes anymore.
All right. So I would agree with you. He dropped a lot of passes, and some of this is self-inflicted. How much do you feel like the injuries were a factor? Because even though he did play all 16 games last year, definitely over the last few years since his big season in 14, he's been hampered by some injuries.
I know he has, and that's why I kept hoping the last 3 years. Maybe he's just injured. Maybe his foot hurts and he's dropped. But he was dropping passes that were, like, right in his hands, and I couldn't.
Okay.
I saw the numbers. It was crazy. It was, like, 135 thrown to him, and he only caught 65. That's really bad.
Okay.
I don't know if that's accurate, but I somewhere around that range, and I just thought that's really awful.
Well, so. I'd agree that the Cowboys didn't want to pay him the money or didn't think he was worth that money. What surprises me is that, according to Dez, they didn't offer him a pay cut so that he could stay, and also, according to Dez, that he had no wind of this either, and so... No, I know that you know that I know. He blamed the Garrett guys, meaning the captains, the guys that listen to Jason Garrett and that kind of are in his crew. Man crush Monday. How about David Pastrnak, Boston Bruins? Hat trick, 3 assists, killing it. We'll have more candidates throughout the day. You can find me on Twitter, @LawRadio. I appreciate all the interaction. Back tonight. Bring it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.